sights to show you.
What else came out now that I'm thinking about? Fucking The Usual Suspects. No, that was 95. Interview with the Vampire. Bam.
Right.
The Crow. What
happened? Yeah, the Crow. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because The Crow.
Natural Born Killers.
The Shawshank Redemption. Clerks. The Mask. Forrest Gump. Holy crap. Okay, 1984 was awesome. I knew it was awesome
for a reason.
Wes Craven's
New Nightmare.
That's true.
Point is, 1994 was a great year. Not the best year. That would be 1995, which is a great year in history.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. 94 was also responsible for Wagons East.
What's Wagons East?
It was the last movie by John Candy, and it was so horrible that like no one watched it.
Oh no!
That happened to Chris Farley too with Almost Heroes.
Yep.
Yeah.
But did you know 1994 also saw the release of Jean-Claude Van Damme's Street Fighter? Huh? First video game movie? Yeah.
I mean, it also... Yeah. You know, it also saw the release of Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, so...
I know, wow. It's just all across the board. Oh, Blank Check.
The Crow.
That was the last movie that... Raul Julia
Raul Julia's last movie, that's right. He did it for his son. His son likes Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's right.
There you go.
Yep.
Well... That's enough about 1994.
Hold on,
movies.
We got one more. We got one more. Winona Ryder was the hottest in 1994. There you go. That's...
Okay. You're really not wrong. Reality Bites. She was in that was peak Winona.
I was thinking Reality Bites also. Her and Ethan Hawke. I'm like, yep. Mm-hmm. And she was that hot until Mr. Deeds. That's a good way to start this right here. I'm liking that.
Oh my gosh. Well, another episode full of references I barely comprehend. Well, with that, welcome back everyone to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Webster. With me as always is Anthony Fuentes.
Yo!
Joining us today, the man, the myth, the legend, my father, Wayne Webster.
Oh. I don't know what to say to that. I never consider myself a myth or a legend. I do consider myself a man, though. So, I mean, I guess I qualify for one of the three.
Noted Winona Ryder enthusiast Wayne Webster. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys? I apologize in advance if I'm a little raspy. Got Moderna number 2 yesterday, and they said there'd be side effects, and there are side effects.
Oh, wow. Immediately post-vaccination. All right.
Yeah.
Ooh. Nice. Yes. I'm immediately post hazelnut coffee. I'm good.
Anyway, I talked about it last week, but my father is here, and we're very excited because we're talking about a movie that is near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited that we're covering this. This is the one movie that doesn't take place in space the entire month.
No, but it has a lot of space influence, I would say.
I would say it's a space inspired movie.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Shit comes from space. We're good.
You could argue a very small part of it does,
But it does a lot of damage.
It does.
So much damage. So much so that, by the end of it, I was, I was actively anxious.
Oh, seeing it with the commercials is just brilliant, too.
We're gonna talk about that, because this is my first time. Anyway, we are talking about Without Warning, guys, from 1994, and if you haven't seen Without Warning from 1994, I don't blame you, because it aired once, and that was it.
It's niche as fuck.
The only reason I saw it is because of Wayne Webster, my father, who is currently recording with us. So
yes.
I couldn't have...
I'm sorry?
I couldn't have... done this episode without him and his I don't know, sci-fi nerdy expertise.
Oh man, I'm so sad I missed this. After seeing it, I'm just like, oh, I went like most of my life not having seen this.
Yeah. Oh man.
And you're probably better off for it. But at the time it was good at the time.
It's so fun.
So many things are good at the time and then filled with regret immediately afterwards.
Oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter once again strikes.
So many things. Oh, man. And, you know, we're going to get into it. This is going to be a very discussion-heavy episode. Mm-hmm. So to jump right into it, Dad, take it away with the IMDb synopsis.
Yeah.
Okay. Three fragments of an asteroid hit the United States, China, and France. The events are covered by TV news reports. More meteors come. Is it natural events or alien transgression?
Once again, IMDb coming through with the stupidest way to describe a movie. I mean, but
yeah.
They took it from the TV guide, I'm sure. 1994.
Yeah, they did.
It was written by Peter Lance, who did the teleplane story, Jeremy Thorne, who also did the story, and Waylon Green, who did the story. Oh. It was directed by Robert Iskov, produced by Robert Iskov, and the executive producer was David Wolper. And I am struggling, but there's something familiar about David Wolper, like he did something else.
Yes, he did. Ooh. So David Wolper, he did... he did Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, what?
That's why that name is familiar.
He produced it.
All right. And the name Wolper is just one letter away replacement from a Pokemon called Wooper. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Anthony.
Take the L. Take the L.
You know.
Which is a terrible Pokemon, by the way. He's bad.
This is just days after the McDonald's hullabaloo.
Oh, it is.
But probably by the time this episode comes out, well, it's coming out later this week, so it'll probably still be somewhat relevant. But mm-hmm. Anthony's a crazy person.
I only bought one. I bought one Happy Meal, and I got a holographic Charmander out of it, so I'm good.
You are turning how old next month?
Hold on. Okay. I went to get a second one, and like the adult, they told me that they don't have any more, so I got 10-piece chicken nuggets instead.
How old are you turning next month?
We're not talking about that.
So did you throw a tantrum when they didn't have the toy that you wanted?
No, I was fine, but I think I saw the car in front of me, like when they had to tell them, I saw like arms flail. And then like when we went to go pay for the food, they just immediately drove forward. So, you know.
they only wanted that Happy Meal to get the Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah.
The 25th limited edition anniversary Pokemon cards that are in Happy Meals right now. Or they're probably all bought out by... men in their 30s.
People in their 30s, Alex. Everybody's got them. I got a lot of replies for my stories, and it was right down the middle.
I understand, but the only people who I've seen who have been buying them en masse...
Oh, yeah, total dudes. You're right.
Men in their 30s.
You're right. Yeah.
I'm going to generalize here. I will paint with that broad brush.
Why can't a meteor hit now? I get it.
Anyway, continuing on with the cast of this movie. Yes. Continue, please, Dad.
The cast, it was starring Sandra Van Oker, who was a actual news broadcaster. It had Jane Kaczmarek as Dr. Carolyn Jaffe,
my favorite.
The future mom in Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle, that's right. That show was so, that's how, you know, there's few shows growing up around the time that actually showed what it was like growing up without money.
Right.
Malcolm in the Middle fucking nailed that.
True story.
No, and having three kids, like the infighting between the children, like the visceralness of it. Oh,
I'm feeling personally attacked right now. I'm feeling personally attacked at this very moment.
I was gonna say, Father, can you speak to this?
I was the Malcolm of the family.
No, I mean, I was not able to make that connection until I watched it much, much later in life. But all that was playing in the background every time she was on the screen was just like, "You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now." Yes. Just like that's all I heard.
Oh, I was a kid in the AP classes, so yeah, I was, and the little one.
You were tiny. You were nerdy. Mm-hmm. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can relate. Bree Walker, Lampley, as herself, again, another veteran newscaster who performed in this. And then Dwyer Brown as Matt Jensen. And to throw down my nerd credentials right here, he was in Firefly. He was...
Oh, my God, that's how he looked familiar! Ah!
He was Malcolm's wife. Oh, why is my brain just turning?
Yes. In the episode Armistice Reynolds, he plays the original husband of
And he owns the Lassiter, yes. the original laser pistol, and that's who they're stealing it from. Yes. He plays shit. That.
Yeah, he plays the original.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm out now. That's all. I played all my nerd cred right there.
That is hilarious.
Wait a second.
Christina Hendricks is it plays Malcolm's wife. Like, yeah, Christina Hendricks is in this episode. She tricks Mal into marrying her, and like she's like this con artist, and like her original husband is the guy who plays Matt Jensen in this movie. I knew he looked familiar. Holy shit! Thank you.
Wait, I feel
you're
like
welcome.
We're missing Saffron. Someone. There's
Saffron was her name.
Yeah, Saffron. Thank you.
Yeah, Saffron.
That was one of her names.
Yeah, oh, it's true story.
Michael okay. Massey also makes a very short cameo in this movie, by the way.
Michael Massey does?
Yeah. Like, blink and you miss him.
Dude, Philip Baker Hall is in this movie. He was in Boogie Nights and, like, he's like an actor.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, who, like, there's a ton of cameos in this movie that, like there's a ton of people who are in, like, there was someone that I just straight up fucking recognized. And I was like, you're an actor. Like, you're just straight up, like,
yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing, and not foreshadowing the rest of the episode if we get to it, but John DeLancey, who played Q in Star Trek The Next Generation, played just a field reporter. It's like, huh. Really? And people are going to be upset about the fact that this could be real? It's like, there's Q.
And people were upset.
Philip Baker yes. Hall was in Rush Hour like 2 years later. Like,
I mean, to be fair, Jane Kasmarek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She, I mean, this was pre-Malcolm in the Middle, yes?
Yes. So,
like, she wasn't as big, no.
Yeah, she wasn't yeah. as, like, established yet.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a good point.
She did act the hell out of this movie,
She
though.
Did. Oh, I was on her side.
Like, she's the reason, like, I grew up a skeptic, man.
Oh, my God.
No, I remember going, oh, we'll get into that later, but it's just, like, the whole scientist, oh, no, it can't be aliens. Oh, no, it can't be aliens. We've only got 2 hours. It has to be aliens. What are you talking about?
They're not going to get to the end and be like, it was asteroids.
It was asteroids. The original release was October 30th, 1994, and the distributor was CBS.
Mm. So, like, this movie just aired on CBS. And
right. They had the Twilight Zone, you know? They're getting a little experimental.
They're a little mm-hmm. spooky.
Mm-hmm. They don't mind.
So there's truly next to nothing about this movie in terms of the production or really anything. So we're going to talk a little bit about the movie itself, because if you have no idea what Without Warning is, I feel like it would behoove us to kind of explain a little bit about what the movie actually entails.
Yeah.
Before we get into the plot itself.
Exactly. So I mean, listeners, if you have any interest in this, which I'm about to tell you what it's about anyway, it's like a brief summation, but it's on YouTube. And
it's
like
literally on YouTube.
There's the copy you linked me, which is the first result that came up on mine.
Yes.
2 hours. It has the most wonderful commercials. You need to watch the 2 hour version.
And I had the DVD growing up, so I never got to see it in all of its commercial glory mm-hmm. until last night.
Yeah. And it's a commercial from 1994, Insanity, please.
Holy shit.
How they market to kids back in the day is so drastically different. Yeah.
Like, how marketing has just changed. Like, I feel like I just want to take these commercials and walk into a marketing class and be like, this is how far we've come, people. This is how far we've come.
I thought you were going to go and say, don't do this.
Or do exactly this.
Do some of this, but just realize when it goes too far.
Oh, man.
But anyways, Without Warning is a TV movie directed by Robert Iskov.
Iskov? I have no idea.
Featuring veteran news anchor Sander Van Oker.
Van Oker. They say it like 7 times in the movie.
That's right, Van Oker. You're right. And reporter Bree Walker as themselves, covering a breaking news story of 3 meteor fragments crashing into the Earth's northern hemisphere. Now, the film premiered on Halloween night, October 31st, 1994, on CBS, and is presented as if it were actual breaking news events, complete with remote reports from, of course, reporters. The executive producer was David L. Wolper, who produced a number of mockumentary-style films, a favorite of this podcast, of course. And we got plenty more to cover, too. So, yes.
It's true. And I wanted to talk a little bit about about mockumentaries, mm-hmm. just because this is so different from like anything else that we've kind of covered as a more traditional like broadcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some notable examples of some mockumentaries: What We Do in the Shadows, Phoenix Incident, Quarantine and Rec, which is episode 87 of the mm-hmm. Horrible Peoples podcast, and of course, my personal favorite, Lake Mungo from episode 49, the only movie that has genuinely terrified me, like to the point that I had to turn on all the lights and like pause it every 5 minutes.
You missed one example.
What did I miss?
Our most popular episode on this podcast.
Oh, shit.
The Poughkeepsie tapes. I said it correctly. Fuck yeah.
Good job. Is it a mockumentary?
Yeah. It's a total mockumentary.
Okay,
it's like
right,
100%
you're right,
mockumentary.
You're right. The Poughkeepsie Tapes is also one of my favorites. I'm
yeah. It, episode... The Wonder One interviews and the okay, everything. Okay, it's
okay,
100.
Okay, you're right. Number, I'm wrong. Sorry.
Fourth episode, Alex. Number four. But number one in our hearts.
Number one in the hearts of us and everyone else, apparently. Yeah. Which, oh man.
It is the most listened to next. No, that and Scooby-Doo. Those are the two that
you're welcome.
Live to the top. Yeah, way
you're
to go.
Welcome.
See? Way to, yeah, hell yeah. All right. So let's talk. Let's go.
Okay. So let's talk about this weirdest shit movie.
Yes.
So the film used this like accelerated timeline, like mm-hmm. the events said to have taken place an hour apart actually only take place a few minutes in the actual like movie.
Yeah.
They use other storytelling devices to make it clear to people who are paying attention, emphasis on the paying attention,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. that what was going on wasn't actually happening.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a family in the 90s, you're just like, news is on.
Right. Mm-hmm. The news is just kind of there.
Oh,
in the
are they stories? Okay.
It's true. To be fair, like, I distinctly remember, like, growing up, like, you know, the news was just kind of, like, mm-hmm. on in the background, like, at my grandparents' house. Like, if I had missed the beginning and I had missed the commercial breaks where they distinctly put in, like, big bold letters, what you're watching is not real, mm-hmm. if I had missed that, I would have been like, are we all going to die?
Well, that, you take into consideration that not only did they have like Sander Van Oker, who the old back in my day, back in the 90s, in their 80s and 90s, he was a reputable news anchor. Mm-hmm. You know, Bree Walker was known. She had covered like, and I think she makes reference to this in the show, that she had covered the flood. She had covered the riots. I mean, she was a disaster correspondent.
Damn.
And beside that, I remember correctly, they had several other, news anchors that had stepped in to do that, like Warren Olney, who's the guy at Redstone, was in to anchor, and
they did.
I know there's two or three. Ernie Anastos, who was the guy in New York, the reporter in New York, he was a New York news anchor. So it's like they littered it with news anchors from legitimate news anchors and used a logo that was so close to CBS. I can understand
Hill,
why people might be upset.
In the very beginning, like Sandy Hill, the woman reporting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's a reporter. Warren Olney is a reporter. Like, all the people who pretty much play themselves are playing, like, news anchors.
Yeah. So it gives it an air of legitimacy, for sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem. So this, like, combined with the casting of Jane Kaczmarek, who's a recognizable actress, mm-hmm. As well as several other well-known performers in secondary roles, this was supposed to alleviate any concerns that this was actually happening. However, because they had Van Oker, I mean, he was retired, but he was still, I don't know, I guess they must have just missed the fucking memo. And Bree Walker.
How's that retirement money doing, huh? You want to go a couple more years? Here.
Right. He was retired. They played major roles, portraying themselves. And they also had a faux interview with Arthur C. Clarke.
Yes.
In this movie. And I think anyone watching would have been like, oh, this is legitimate. Mm-hmm. Arthur C. Clarke is freaking, like, right there. Like, and last night I was like I was messaging you, Dad, while mm-hmm. I was watching it, and I was like, how did they get Arthur C. Clarke to agree to this?
So for, let's say, fans who don't know who Arthur C. Clarke is, who's Arthur C. Clarke?
Dad, would you like to take this?
Arthur C. Clarke is probably one of the there's two or three. You have Heinlein, you have Clark, and you have Asimov as basically the preeminent hard sci-fi writers of the 20th century. You know, he wrote 2001, Rendezvous with Rama. Like, I can go down the list, but basically when it's considered hard science fiction, which is that sci-fi, which is based, you know, very firmly in actual science as we knew it, he was probably the best at that. So
sci-fi with math in it.
Yeah. Well, for example, Arthur C. Clarke figured out geosynchronous orbit. He was the person who figured out that you could put a satellite in orbit in such a place that it stayed directly above and did all the math for it. Dude was really smart. He invented radar.
Damn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Damn. Oh, we got to have your papa for more episodes here.
You're talking about shit that I'm just like,
this one has a little bit of science. Bring him on.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the science.
Oh, that's
But
funny.
Yeah, so he's like the guy. You know what I mean? Oh. So.
Yeah, so if he was, I mean, and to Alex's point is, if you had him on this show pretending to be correspondent, which I think in the video they had his permission to play a video from a interview he did with someone else, making it look like, because all he did, I believe, is talk about the Voyager probe, which is something that he was very knowledgeable about.
He also talked a little bit about aliens, like I don't know if they just like cut it a little, like, because like it very obviously was like something that they filmed,
mm-hmm.
and then like it was not, you know, it's not Skype.
We can use this.
Well, this was also pre the days of YouTube. Like, they couldn't have just like searched up an interview and been like, "Oh, we can use that." Like, they did some digging to find it. You know what I mean? But because Van Oker plays himself as a newsacre in the film, a few complaints were received from people like at various news stations who believed the movie events were real, despite repeated screen narration and text before the start of each act. Following this movie, CNN issued an order that its reporters and anchors were not allowed to play themselves or any other role in a fictional movie.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, they're not. Yeah, after this as a direct result, CNN made it to where you can play in movies, but you cannot play a newsacre, even if it's with a different name. You just cannot. You want to play, you know, an indie sport, a race car driver, sure, but you're not playing sportscasters, and that's that's contractual.
And Don Lemon cries into his pillow every day because he can't be in the Marvel movies. There you go. That's why I see it.
He could have gotten that Marvel money, but...
And I also, I'm glad that, like, what do you call? Like, the local channels didn't have this rule because we got John Beard in Arrested Development. So so let's keep this to CNN. I want to see their faces and anything anyways. Let's go.
So, when Without Warning originally premiered, CBS had warnings during the commercial break stating that the film was completely fictional and that the events were not actually happening. Some CBS affiliates, such as KHOU in Houston, had similar warnings in the form of a news ticker crawl during the broadcast at the bottom, just to distinctly remind people that it was not happening, which I think probably would have helped a lot more than just little alerts before each act,
well,
but whatever.
Well, there's a lot more guns in Houston, too, so like, let's not get everybody riled up.
You know, talking about another space movie, something clear and near and dear to my heart, Independence Day, one of the lines was,
yes.
I believe, don't fire, we're, you know, a yes, fake newscast, and that was like, please do not fire firearms at the spacecraft. You may start an interstellar war.
Yes,
oh, America. I love you, America.
Oh, I love that. Even as a kid, when I saw it in theaters, I loved that line.
I just rewatched Independence Day. I just rewatched it. I was like I was feeling a type of way, and I was just like, ugh, oh, this is too good.
Oh, that line when I was 9 years old. I don't know. I just got it.
Oh, then you may trigger an interstellar war.
But getting back to what you were saying, Alex, something that I kind of agree with, having a ticker rolling across it kind of takes away from some of the suspense. I mean, I know that was some of the, you know, like having a ticker, this is not real. This is not real.
It kills the fun.
It kills the fun.
Yeah. Well, like, and I'm kind of cutting into like what we're going to talk about during the conversation or during discussion, but like this movie, even though I know it is like 26 years old,
yeah,
like, and it's obviously very, very dated. As I'm watching it, like, I am still very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know, like, mm-hmm. without a doubt, like, this is a YouTube video. This is in no way, shape, or form actually happening. It still builds suspense and builds anxiety very well.
Mm-hmm. It's well made, and it's dated, but in a way that's authentic feeling.
Yeah.
Which makes all the difference.
But, I mean, it tricks your brain in a very mm-hmm. In a very interesting way, because it does rely on, like, those traditional, like, news-type things that we're all used to seeing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I think that's kind of cool. So the producers used, during the movie, the producers used actual CBS News graphics to help accentuate the feeling that it was real, though they did use a different network logo, a sphere within an outline of a TV screen to kind of differentiate.
Okay.
However, this did also cause people to lose their shit. Minutes after the movie ended, KCBS newswoman Penny Grigio stated on the 11 p.m. news, dozens of calls came into the channel to newsroom basically asking if it was actually happening.
People.
Because, like, after this movie, it cut straight to the 11 p.m. news.
I would love to see the disclaimer.
Yeah, it did. I didn't even remember that, but you're right. It bumped right. I mean, literally went straight from that right into the late news.
Yeah. So in Fort Smith, Arkansas, the CBS affiliate there reported that they had received dozens of calls regarding the incident and whether or not it was actually happening. Fucking Arkansas. this part's funny. The area's ABC, Fox, and NBC affiliates were also flooded with complaints asking them why they were not covering this event at the same time that CBS was covering it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, in several other markets, including Detroit, Michigan, and San Diego, California, the local CBS affiliates, respectively WJBK, which would switch to Fox 6 weeks later, and KFMB-TV, refused to air this movie.
Like, listen, we know how dumb our citizens are. You know how many calls we get normally about bullshit? We're not doing it.
Detroit and San Diego. Well, Detroit for other reasons. San Diego, like, everyone would just panic en masse.
What? How's fleeing to Mexico going to help?
The borders are closed.
Yeah.
Because Mexico doesn't have nuclear weapons.
There you go.
That'd be the reason why. I'm just foreshadowing. Please continue.
So some actually accused CBS of being irresponsible in showing the movie during primetime hours, which is, what, 9 to 11? Is that prime time? Okay. No. Yeah. Is it?
Well, it's not prime time, and considering that you talked about it, it bumped up right into the late news.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you concerned about children trick-or-treating? I mean, they should be in bed. Go to sleep, damn it.
Yeah. Yes. How are you going to sleep after this broadcast, huh?
Okay, so this broadcast, quote-unquote, explicitly takes place on Halloween. Like, there are trick-or-treaters even featured in the movie, or in the movie in some reports. This is ridiculous.
Remember the quote, the George Carlin quote that we probably said around this time that we always go to?
Yeah.
Think of how average or dumb the average person is, and half the people are dumber than that.
Oh. I'm suddenly sad. Yeah, yeah, that was...
Sorry, Wayne.
Well, as Alex and you know where I live, it's like, That makes a lot more sense than I really would like it to make. But please continue.
I mean, here's the thing. Because, like, a lot of... This is a very obvious kind of, like, homage to 1938's War of the Worlds by Orson Welles. And because so few people were actually familiar with this broadcast, it kind of lent to why people were so panicked and mm-hmm. unfamiliar. Because they just weren't really familiar with this type of broadcast, which is super sad, because I love War of the Worlds as a concept. Right? It's so cool.
I mean, people thought the Blair Witch Project was real, and it aired in theaters.
Father.
Or premiered.
Mm-hmm. No, I was one of those people that initially thought it was
legitimate.
A documentary. A documentary.
It's okay.
Like, my mom, your mom, mm-hmm. my dad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got it after a while, like, when the movie was, like, when it was done.
Yeah, by the end of it, it's just like, oh, this is a horror
movie. Oh, yeah. Again, this was early social media, so it wasn't like there was a lot of people out there, oh, by the way, this isn't real. I mean, let's talk about spoilers. Today, you would know the entire plot before the movie even came out. So
before it was shot, there would be a press release. And yeah, you'd follow it.
I mean, to be fair, if you listen to our Blair Witch episode, it does mention that the actors were asked to lay low for a little bit to keep up the mystique. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, I mean, speaking of, by the way, did you see that they're making another fucking Paranormal Activity movie?
Another one. What the shit?
Is it like Paranormal Activity 18, The Search for More Money?
Yeah.
Like, Search for More Money.
It's true. I love found footage as much as the next person. Like, I mean, more than the next person, probably, because I love found footage. We all know this.
Yeah, yeah.
But end it.
They already beat it to the ground a decade ago.
They curb stomped it. They like, did. They like, oh yeah. My fucking God.
They gave it the American History X treatment. I agree.
It was a clever movie once, even maybe twice. Well, but twice at some point, it's like. Yeah, not consecutively, but there were times that it was a good premise, but at some point it's like, okay, we've covered this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, as Alex will tell you, I'm not the hugest horror fan per se, although I love the psychology behind it, which she may have gotten maybe from me. I don't know. However, it's like you look at Freddy versus Jason, Freddy or Jason in space. It's like, okay, are you running out of ideas? You know, Jason goes to cooking school. Freddy makes a new sweater. I mean, what were we running out of ideas?
I would wash the hell out of both of those. Are you kidding me?
God. We are the wrong people to be pitching those ideas to because, like...
Honestly. Or maybe I'm the right people. Maybe you are the right people.
Give me the quest for Freddy trying to make a sweater and people keep falling asleep. He's like, I gotta go in the dream again. Fuck.
Jason
taking out suburban moms left and right.
Jason like really, really trying to go to culinary school.
I'm trying to change his life.
He's really trying to turn it around.
He's like, oh, I love all these killing instruments. God, they make such great souffles.
And meanwhile, his sister is just this beautiful, well-renowned chef, just pissing him off even more. That's what you want to see is Jamie Lee Curtis making a souffle. That's all you really want to see. Really, let's think about it.
It's too much.
Oh my God, this is
crossing
great.
The streams.
I love where this is going. Love where this is going.
Oh my gosh. Well, circling back, the film also like it pretty much borrows bits and pieces from Wells' broadcast. They used fake places like Grover's Mill, New Jersey, which is the first landing site of the aliens in War of the Worlds.
They used Grover Mill, Wyoming, as where the impact of the Wyoming asteroid was. So it's Grover's Mill. It was a tip of the hat.
It was a little nudge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dorks.
I don't even know if there is a Grover's Mill, Wyoming, to be completely honest, but I think that's what they're doing. And if you remember, the very beginning of the show had like this 30-second. This is 50-something years after, to the day after the War of the Worlds broadcast in 1938. This isn't, in the same spirit we do this. This is not real. Obviously they know.
Yeah. Pretty thick. Mm-hmm. Happy to inform the class that Grover's Mill, Wyoming, nor Grover's Mill, New Jersey exist.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay.
It's all fake. So
if you see votes coming in from Grover's Mill, all right, stop the steal.
God damn it, Anthony.
I know, you're just getting all topical today. Sorry, you just bring up Don Lemon. I'm fucking.
You brought up Don Lemon. You did this.
I know. Let's go.
But you also, you read.
Yes.
So,
terrible.
Horrible. So after this came out, DVD releases, like movies that would come out after, got the idea to include fake newscasts and special features to illustrate the apocalyptic events featured in the film as if the viewer were seeing actual news reports. So examples of this include previously mentioned Independence Day, which I remember seeing because I owned that shit. My dad, owned this shit on DVD.
Yes, I own this for sure. Please continue.
And the 2004 version of Dawn of the Dead.
I had that. Hey, that's true.
Like, I distinctly remember watching this. It was like a 15-minute fake newscast. And I remember being obsessed with it because I was obsessed with Independence Day. I was obsessed with that warning. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Independence Day had a fake newscast, I thought it was the coolest shit ever.
Oh, that is bad. I never got the I had the VHS. They didn't have any of that. They just gave us like this extra, like, oh, here's our actual UFO sightings, which I watched a bunch. It was great. It's great.
We are a pro Independence Day podcast.
One of these days,
yes, we are.
One day we'll cover it, and it'll be, we'll just sit there and just be like quoting lines back and forth. Mm-hmm.
The Welcome to Earth podcast.
Welcome to Earth.
Accurate. Welcome to Earth.
Oh man! And quick aside, as I was watching it, like the second like they go to Area 51, I'm just like, they did Data so dirty in this movie.
They did
so dirty. Anyway. Circling back. So there also several early episodes of the 1980s TV series V about an alien invasion of Earth also began in a faux newscast style featuring without warning a real life journalist. Until this gimmick was ultimately abandoned.
Found footage fucked everything up. There you go.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm. I can remember that, and there was a little bit of pushback on that too back at the time, because there had been at that time, there had been another movie which kind of goes in this this vein of mockumentary-type newscast, which was called Special Bulletin. And if you think Without Warning scares you, okay, so in the early 80s, right before V, they'd had his TV, like a very similar program to Without Warning called Special Bulletin. And it was about a nuclear weapon going off in Charleston Harbor. And it scared, I mean, I remember being, I think it was 13 at the time, and it scared the crap out of me. It was a television movie, but it was done in the exact same vein as Without Warning, where it's newscasters, except in this case, nobody in the movie was an actual newscaster. They were all well-established actors.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I caught this on YouTube.
You probably did. This is a little bit more well-known than Without Warning. Yeah. Without Warning definitely was inspired by this. And most people who kind of praise Without Warning also praise Special Bulletin for similar things.
Isn't the last broadcast also in a similar vein or no?
I think so.
I haven't seen it. I have the VHS Alex at my apartment. And I see it all the time, and I'm like, what am I, one of these days? Oh, no.
The Last Broadcast movie. The Last Broadcast from 1998. It films a documentary about... Oh, it's the people looking for the Jersey Devil.
Oh, okay. Well, different then.
Well, that's like Ghost Watch.
It's like Ghost Watch. It's like Grave Encounters. It's like the Blair Witch Project.
So what you're saying though is, for the last broadcast, we got to do a cryptids month.
Fuck with me, Fuentes.
Cryptids month.
Do not fuck with me.
All movies about legit cryptids. Just saying. Just saying. One of these days.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, it has to. Like, I love cryptids so much. Last podcast just did an episode about lake monsters.
I missed that one.
Good. It made me really sad because they laid out a very compelling argument, like, about why the Loch Ness Monster isn't bullshit. Real. Yeah. Like, I know in my heart it's bullshit, but I still want to believe.
Oh, I had a Loch Ness Monster phase for sure.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, no. I had to get to the bottom of it, and by the end, I'm like...
For me, it's Mothman.
I've been to the Loch Ness Monster. I never saw the monster.
You've been to
the Loch Ness Monster? I have. I didn't see a Loch Ness. I went to the Loch Ness. I didn't see the Loch Ness Monster. I did see the Loch Ness, not the Loch Ness duck. There was just a duck cruising across the lake. It's like, well, that's disappointing.
I heard it was beautiful. I heard it's beautiful.
You're like, it wasn't even.
It is. Oh, it's very, very lovely.
Huh.
Well, good excuse to travel to Scotland.
My cryptid is still was it Mukumembe? The one, the dinosaur in Africa in the Congo?
I've never heard of this.
What? Oh, I'm going to send you.
Nor have I. Please continue.
I'm sending some links.
Send links.
All right.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep. Doing it.
No, yeah. For me right now, it's the Mothman.
Oh, Mothman's cool.
Mine was the Chupacabra.
Chupacabra. Oh, Mexican state.
Because that became into, just as I was starting to, like, the mid-90s, shortly after birth of said Alex Webster, started watching or following the exploits of one Art Bell. That was a mainstay on his show. Okay, I'm dating myself. You guys all can just
Art Bell, like, I mean, there's art, there's the classic Art Bell versus George Norrie, like, debate, but I mean, sure. Art Bell's pretty great.
Oh, we're getting some hardcore stuff here.
We could talk about Coast to Coast for a while.
We could, because I worked night shift, so guess what I got to listen to? And, you know, Bob was there. Yeah, of course. But no, the Chupacabra was like, and we have proof, and we have this, and we have that. What? Oh, well, what is it? You know, following the, I know it's not true, but what if it is true type of thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was our fun aside on cryptids.
I know.
Okay, we'll get back on track. I apologize.
No, don't be. This is what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's perfect. And again, just I'm trying to think of all the dead hairless coyotes out there that were mistaken for chupacabras back in the day. Those poor bastards.
I'm just thinking about all the poor like goats that like just got tortured by teenagers just to make their poor owners think that like the chupacabra was responsible for their untimely demise in the fields of Texas.
It's okay. It goes back to a philosophy we've had here in a long time at the Horrible People's Podcast. Teenagers are the worst people in the world.
It's true.
They're terrible human beings. All of them.
Teenagers. Yeah. One of them. Teenagers are little psychopaths.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
With that warning, so...
I feel like I should have subtitles. Nods in agreement. Please continue.
Just slowly nods. He can't say anything because my brother's still a teenager.
I have to be very careful where I walk on this line. So please continue.
Not you.
Exception.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
A nerd. Even then, still a little. So this movie was released on DVD on July 8th, 2003, nearly 9 years after its initial and only singular showing on CBS. However, it has since been shown outside the United States, such as in the United Kingdom, where it has been aired on Sci-Fi minus the commercial break warnings.
Boo!
So, boo! So I didn't see this until 2003, so I was about 8-ish. How old was I when I first saw this movie?
I want to say when we got the DVD, because there was no other way for me to show it to you. And then I saw under Amazon, like, you may be interested in, I would be interested in, thank you very much.
And a click.
Early algorithm and, change in childhood.
Yes, here you go.
But, so you saw this, Dad, you saw this when it originally aired.
I did. And here's the thing about the controversy. They advertised the hell out of this. Like, I knew it was coming on. For 2 weeks, it was like, in the 50th anniversary of War of the Worlds, we're going to be doing this on Halloween night. Da, da, da. I mean, I saw at least 6 different advertisements, which is how I knew to watch it. Mm-hmm. So
funny.
But yeah, I watched it when it originally aired and didn't see it again until 2003.
9 years later.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Until I was 8.
Mm. You were 8.
I mean, 8's appropriate age to watch nearly, you know.
Yeah, your mother didn't think so, but I kind of let you watch it anyways.
I mean, I also watched, like, The Core and Signs and Armageddon probably way before I should have.
Probably.
But.
Yeah, I mean, I had problems with Signs and I told you about it and you were like, well, I want to watch that. It's like, okay, well, we have to wait for your mom not to be here. Then.
Yeah, but then then I saw the one scene, like the scene in question that everyone just was traumatized by.
Domino's children. Yes. Oh, the best.
Please refer to our Signs episode also.
That destroyed the movie theater I was in.
Like, they just started laughing?
No, everybody was scared as hell.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we talked about it in the episode because I saw Signs in the movie theaters. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, people freaked out when they saw the monster.
Didn't we all?
Oh, yeah.
But no, I distinctly remember sitting, like, on my parents' bed, seeing that happen, and just being like, I'm too young to watch this movie.
But you don't remember, you were like, Dad, back that up. Was that yes, it was. Back it up. Are you sure? Back it, yes. Okay, fine, back it up. And then you're like, okay, fast forward. I don't want to see it anymore. And you went forward.
I can see it. I can see this. Oh, that's awesome.
And that's how I got into horror, ladies and gentlemen. Just watching the same movie.
Well, no, I honestly believe that Without Warning was the gateway drug for Alex to go into Signs, which went into all the other horror genres.
Deep Impact.
deep impact, the suspense. I mean,
Yeah.
horror is by nature suspenseful, and I like suspenseful. I have a strong empathic streak, so
Yeah, you just
seeing
need
someone ran through
more.
with a sword is not my cup of tea, but the psychological drama behind it, I'm okay with. So I think that's how I
Yeah.
pushed my lovely Alex on this
That's
panel.
great. See, it's like spicy food. She
Yeah.
didn't really know 100%, like, a little bit, but a little bit of, like, anguish when you're trying to enjoy something. Oh my
It's true.
God.
It's true. Sci-fi is a great gateway drug into horror.
It is. I agree.
Like, and that's kind of how I think, and that's how I'm probably going to end up explaining it from now on, because, like, it's really weird to explain to people, like, I was not allowed to watch horror until I was, like, 18. And then I suddenly, it's not like I just dived in head first. Like, I've been working up to it. Like, I love, like, disaster movies. I love sci-fi movies. Like, I always had.
Peril.
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 Terror. Like, existential anxiety. Give it to me.
Meanwhile, as far back as I can have memories, I've always known Michael Myers as a figure.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm getting little kids beat up because I told my dad they stole my candy.
Well, no, you told your uncle and your dad, and your uncle was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go handle this." It's
Right,
like, "Oh,
and for
Scott,
those
please, that my brother."
listening at home, my uncle is a tall, like, just scary looking dude.
We all have scary uncles. We know the power of having a scary just like backup.
It's true. When I was a kid, I was just like, oh
Mine was like when the little essay kids would pick on me, and then they'd like be near my house, and they'd see my essay uncles. They're like, "Oh, hold on a second. Whoa, hold on, he's backed up."
You're the black sheep. They're all
Yeah, I'm just
alive.
like, "No, I'm the outlier, you assholes."
Oh man.
No, my brother is very much like Hodor from this. Like,
Yes.
but he's very protective, especially of Allie, because Allie is his one and only niece. And when she came up crying, "Someone stole my candy," he was going to pummel them, regardless of how old they were. And if there was a parent involved, he was going to pummel them too. And I'm like, "Scott, these are your grandparents. This is her grandparents' neighbors. We don't want to start a blood feud." But
As a man with a niece that I love very much, and I am also her godfather. Yes, I understand the instinct to be like, why is she fucking crying? Who fucking did this? What are we gonna do about
I will fix this.
No,
So,
yeah, this is getting
because I
real
remember
trouble,
said
man.
story. It brings great laughter now. I'm sure there's some 12-year-old now, but 32-year-old still in therapy. "And then this giant man took my candy and gave it to his niece." The end.
He doesn't eat candy anymore. Nah.
No,
No,
because
he doesn't.
I traumatized him because he scared me.
It's like candy, cookies, nothing, dude. He's healthy as hell, no sugar.
Whatever.
He changed the
Loser.
perfect. Oh
Anyway,
boy.
circling
Okay,
back.
circle back.
Well, here's the thing. As I knew this was going to be a stroll down memory lane, because my father's here. So let's talk about
Hi.
Letterboxd. How do people feel about this? This movie has a 3.4 out of 5 rating on Letterboxd with a whopping 169 reviews.
Oh, I'm gonna sign in, re-review this, and bring that ratio up right there. Or bring that up. That's
Yeah,
happening.
I'm gonna have to.
To 3 3/4 stars?
To three and a
Yep,
half
that's just the
stars.
beginning right there.
You got
I have
it.
multiple emails.
Three and a half. No, so Nora with 2 A's with 3.5 stars says, "I literally cried while watching this. The aliens and also the US military are both pretty fucked up, in my opinion."
Okay, all right, Nora.
Lavender with 3.5 stars, quote, "Very funny of the aliens to do that."
Someone's a little sadist back there.
Eyeball Queen with 3 stars, quote, "Fucked up if true."
I love Eyeball Queen. That's a
We're
great
all
username.
here. Pretty sure it's not true, but I mean.
Fucked up if true, though. Eric Cloud with 3 stars, quote, "Faux broadcast, mostly done very well. Several dodging performances do lower reality level, but all in all, quite enjoyable," unquote.
Okay. I could do.
Most of them are like
I
kind
feel
of.
that.
Most of them are kind of like lengthy and boring, and I was just like, these are the funny ones.
Yeah. I mean, we have such a small pool to get from in this one.
169
I
reviews.
didn't know Letterboxd movies had that low of reviews. That's weird.
Well, I mean, like I said, this is, I mean, you said it also, niche as shit.
Yeah, okay, listener, so if you end up watching this movie, go immediately to Letterboxd and just give your honest opinions.
Please.
Just them.
If you hate it, that's fine. But this movie is just like, I don't know. Like, I sincerely, well, okay, to be fair, this movie, like, aired once on CBS, like, one night in 1994.
Yeah, it's,
and if you didn't see it, you wouldn't know to like buy the DVD.
No, that's true. That's a very good point. You know, not a lot of means for exposure.
I'm curious though, and I couldn't find it. I'm gonna see if I can find it later. The Nielsen ratings
mm-hmm.
on this movie, like the night of this movie.
Oh yeah,
because like I want to know how many people watched it.
They have all the ratings online.
I need to look.
Yeah, okay. We can do it. We can do it.
But I just, because it just, I didn't realize
how October 31st, 1994. We know the release
date. Yeah, we know the
date. We can do it.
But I didn't realize how heavily this was advertised. Like, I thought it was, like, kind of, like, it seemed, I wasn't sure if it was, mm-hmm. like, done well, honestly.
And this is an era in TV, too, where the ratings back then, like, even the shows that got canceled, kill anything that airs right now.
Like, oh, for sure.
Like, something that gets 8 million views back in the day was like, oh, that's a flop. Nobody cares about that.
Really?
Well, no, probably not 8. Maybe, like, 4. But really? Now people are like...
Like, if something gets, like, you know, 2 million...
Yeah,
like,
everybody's losing their minds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, we're streamers. We cut the cords. We messed everything up, Alex.
We fucked it up.
We're messing that up. Denny's, everything. We're fucking it up. I'm sorry.
Denny's?
Well, diners are dying, too.
Really?
Yeah, millennials don't like to eat at diners.
I mean, I do, but usually I'm drunk and it's 2 a.m.
Yeah, exactly, you know? But not all day, huh?
No.
Yeah, I know.
Who goes to an IHOP in like at 2 in the afternoon? No one.
Hey, I'm feeling personally attacked again.
People in 1994, how about that?
No one.
Okay. So, listeners, again, another disclaimer here. This is free. You can watch this for free.
It is for free.
We're going to go through the plot, but honestly, like, at this point, most of the stuff we're going to talk about is going to go back to it. So just watch it. You'll get some cool 90s commercials.
Okay.
A lot of good cameos.
To kick off the discussion, can we discuss these 90s commercials for a little bit?
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah.
Because, like I mentioned at the beginning, I had never seen, like, the first time I watched this movie and, like, my mm-hmm. entire experience with this very worn-out DVD because I watched it so much as a kid. It didn't have any of the, like, this is fake, this is, like, you know, none of that. There were none of those warnings, mm-hmm. none of it. None of the commercials either. So watching it and getting, like, the full 1994 experience with commercials. Because, like, in the DVD, it's just like, and we'll be back after this or
and
whatever.
And come back. Yeah.
And then it just comes right back. And it's mm-hmm. just like, ah, that's fucking boring. And I always had wondered, like, kind of, like, I didn't realize what, like, it was a TV movie, really.
Yeah.
And so seeing it in all of its glory of, like, very silly commercials was great. I was like, the 1995 Toyota Corolla. Oh, my God.
It brought me back. Dude, there was one of these kids commercials where I'm like, this is some avant-garde shit.
Like, the one where everything's, like, all twisty.
Yeah, everything's all messed up. I'm like, what is an acid trip happening right now? And it's supposed to tell us what, Nerf guns? What is going on here? Oh.
Well, what about the Burger King commercial where the Western dude, he's introducing the brand new Whopper, or was it the Whopper Jr.? Mm-hmm. Brand new Whopper Jr. Oh, that's so cute.
I remember the Whopper Jr. I was so excited for the Whopper Jr. I was a little kid. I was like, I couldn't handle the full meal.
Of course.
Yeah. And their toys sucked at Burger King anyways. So I was like, yeah, give me the Whopper Jr.
Because I'm like a junior. Big
boy. Yeah. Oh. That and the first steak I ever got at Sizzler with a 2.
Very good.
Little kid me was just like, I'm a big boy now.
You know Sizzlers are out of business, right?
Oh, I know. They're it's done. It's fine. That's fine.
They're kaput.
I haven't been there in like 20 years, so it's good.
Who has?
Yeah.
Truly. Like, who has?
Maybe like 15 years, but still.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was one more, though. There was one more good commercial. There was one.
The Oldsmobile Aurora.
Oh, that was the commercial. The car commercials for these new cars that like have not aged well.
Yeah.
And there was a
No, there was a phone company that was talking shit to AT&T. They're like,
MCI. MCI.
You're like, and you're gonna get something that you'll never get. Look at this customer service right here. And I'm like, oh, you dumb bastards. You're done.
I was like,
you're a footnote.
I know. As I was watching it, it wasn't even look at how great we are. It was just like AT&T, like, it's okay. Yeah. There's 4.7 million AT&T, like, customers. It won't take me so long to call all of them. Right? Wink? Or whatever the fuck.
Like, some, like, sass.
And I was like, I almost texted you, and I'm like, what the fuck is MCI?
And I would right away have been just like, dude, I have no idea.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, that was weird.
You know, I just had to be quiet for that because just to get your guys' impression on the crap that was our commercials, but please continue.
Huh?
Well, no, the fact that, you know, when I watched it, I looked at the commercials and I literally cringed at how bad they were.
Oh,
So
they're
it was interesting to hear you guys talk about it with, because I had the frame of reference of being in it. You guys were fortunate enough to have that. We were never a part of that, and that was horrible. It's like,
Anthony
okay.
was.
Kinda. I was a kid though. Like I was like a
Yeah.
tiny,
Yeah.
tiny little dude. So like my the what was marketed to me was very different.
Right. I mean, you got all like the kid commercials and
Yeah.
shit.
I mostly remember back in the day, the only adult ones I remember really were like cigarette commercials. Because they'd be like the Marlboro. It was very just like, and also car commercials with like the built for like the real like gruff kind of like a rock, like all those.
There was also like a commercial that was just like the top like performing vehicles of like blah blah blah, and I was just like, these all look like dog shit, and I'm
They
like, oh
do.
no, because these are 1995 cars, so of course they look like dog
They're at the
shit.
top of the line.
I'm just well, also I'm just like design wise, I'm like, these look like shit.
Well, you know, I spent most of my childhood in an 89 Honda and a 94 Astro van. So, you know,
I
to me it
mean,
was default.
I grew up in a what did what was the SUV? A rodeo?
Oh, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Isuzu Rodeo.
An
Oh,
Isuzu Rodeo.
Isuzu Rodeo. Okay. All right, that's pretty bold right there.
I mean,
That's
it was
good.
pretty cool.
But then
Once again, feeling personally attacked. Please continue.
it's okay. As growing up in a 90s Mexican, we needed the Astro van for the entire family.
Oh my God, you had an Astro van!
Yeah, we had like 12 people in there and we'd all just come out. Like, it was
Like a
great.
clown
Yeah,
car,
no,
like.
it was. Those new people were
Well,
supposed to
that's the whole thing,
relax.
though. Is an Astro van was so huge. It's like it should be qualified as its own state. You should get your own two senators, your state's representative, maybe an Air Force base. I don't know, but those things were huge.
At least a Starbucks.
At least a Starbucks. Every time
At least a Starbucks and a Walmart somewhere in it.
I'm stuck behind one on the freeway, I lose my shit.
I was stuck behind one going here today, which is why I came in hot. It was a white Astro van in the goddamn fast lane.
Oh no, the white ones are
Oh.
fine. It's the red ones where I'm just like, I'm going to murder you.
Nah, he was like going maybe 67 in the fast lane. I'm
In
like,
the fa
dude, I'm like, what are you doing?
Let's
There's a line of
go.
cars behind you, and there's a line next to us that's going the speed limit. We can't get out of this.
I hate that shit more than anything. And so when
Oh.
someone's holding up traffic in the fast lane, this is such a
I'm
Southern
getting
Cali
hot thinking about it right
this is
now.
such
I'm
a Southern
honestly.
California conversation. I'm so sorry, but like
I
if you are going under 80 miles per hour in the fast lane, go.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Leave. Yeah.
Just go into the
Take the
next lane.
nearest exit and rethink your life and then come back and drive like a normal human being. That's what you do.
Get an ice cream cone, like kind of recenter, and then like come back. Like,
Yeah.
you know, just ah. Anyway.
About to throw my tablet at your window right now.
please no. You need that. But no, like the commercials, oh God, there was another one that I was just like it's kind of like the Folgers crystals. Like, no way. Like it's like that, but with cornflakes. It's so like the overacting is
Oh.
just chef's kiss. Just
Yeah.
so bad. So good.
I do remember one more, which I reference a lot. It wasn't in this broadcast, obviously, but I remember as a kid, and this stuck with us because this was like our early meme back when I was like in high school. It was Reese's cereal. And they'd be like, Reese's for breakfast?
Yeah, I do
What?
remember
And
that.
they lose their freaking
I do
minds.
remember that.
Oh.
Honestly, the amount of like, thank you, Dad, for not like giving in to every childish whim that we had as children. Because like, literally, like every candy, they were like, let's make it a cereal. And
Yeah.
it was just like, I was like, what is this?
They'll
Who's
just.
he? Like literally, they thought it was a good idea to take like little chocolate chip cookies and make them breakfast.
It was not good.
Be fair, you guys never really asked for
I mean, to be fair, that's because I assumed we probably wouldn't get it because it's
that.
I understood the concept of mini chocolate chip cookies probably wouldn't be a good breakfast.
I think what I
No.
did is what we begged, and then we eventually got like after a while they would give in. And then we had it and it sucked.
Yeah, because
It's terrible. It was always bad.
well, you'd eat it and you'd be like, this
This
isn't
is
what I
not what they, yeah,
this
no.
isn't what I
We'd never
imagined.
get it again. Yeah.
It
There's
wouldn't.
no burglar here trying to steal my Cookie Crisp.
Exactly.
My soggy Cookie Crisp after 3 minutes. Yes.
Or that, or like, and then you just have this like ridiculous sugar high. You just kind of feel like garbage
You're
after.
done by like 11.
You're like, I need a fucking nap and some insulin. Like,
Oh my God. What a time.
anyway.
Okay. And to be fair, the three Webster children were, how do I frame this? Their mother was very diligent about making sure that they had nutritious, healthy food almost all the time.
My mom is a snack master.
She is.
My mom, every time I'm home, she's like, do you want this? Do you want this? Like, snacks, snacks, snacks. And that's why I continue to love snacks to this day.
Mom was the same way. My mom was like, yeah, you know, you're getting vegetables in this. I'm cooking this. This has a, you don't eat the skin. It was all that. And then my dad was like, macaroni and cheese and Chef Boyardee.
Wow, we have the same parents.
Once again, feeling really personally attacked.
Okay. So I buy Chef Boyardee to this day, all right? I'm in it. I'm in it for life because of that. I'm fine.
I'm not, sorry. To this day, one of the funniest things about growing up is my mom, until I was probably like 10, mm-hmm. made an adult meal mm-hmm. and a kid's meal. Like two different dinners. And I'm like, you did far too much.
That's so meticulous. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
And I did not know this until I was 20, mm-hmm. 19, like 20 or 19. Mm-hmm. When I learned this, I was like, why? And she's like, that's what you would eat. And I was just like, you could have just made us eat the adult food.
I was made to eat the adult food. Yeah. Unless like it was bad time for bills. Then it was mac and cheese and Chef Boyardee.
Then it was mac and cheese and hot dogs. And it was the shit.
But it was just like, hey, we're not going out as much right now. Okay.
Mac and cheese and hot dogs.
Why do we not have meats?
Oh, no.
Oh, 90s.
Oh, 90s.
Oh, boy. Okay, so the movie, though. Let's talk about the movie.
Circle back.
No, we can lament about the 90s for as long as we can. As often as we can, because that's just what we do.
That's just what we do.
This is turning into the 90s, the podcast.
There you go.
But seriously, but
the 90210 theme.
But the thing is this movie is very 90s in its entire premise. Mm-hmm. The government is going to fuck everything up. If they had just listened to the experts. Wait, that sounds really familiar. Where do I know that? Oh, never mind. Too topical.
No such thing.
No such thing. But that's the entire premise of the thing, is if they had listened to the experts at the beginning, none of the bad shit had happened.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is just a 90s premise all over.
Oh, that's funny.
No, if they had just waited for What's-His-Face to land at NASA and just listened to Dr. Mandel, like, none of this would have happened. We wouldn't have all died. But seriously, okay, like, thoughts on the movie. Anthony, I'm very curious about your thoughts.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Well, again, it's nostalgia. I grew up in the 90s mm-hmm. for the most part, and I do remember a lot of the vibe was emulated. I'm not emulated. It was what it was. Mm-hmm. But seeing it in its authenticity is, yeah. It's really nostalgic. I felt nostalgic for a movie that I'd never seen, which I think is pretty cool. I think that's and I didn't think it was well done. Like, the cameos they got were ace. They were top of the line cameos. The acting was a little hit and miss, but I mean, it was what it was. Totally. Like, there's not much you can do about that. And I loved the flow of the movie, even with the commercials. It was just like, okay, they're skeptics. Okay, but like the girl, something happened to her, and we're going to keep thinking about the girl. And like, there's all these threads that come in and out throughout the broadcast and kind of culminate, which is cool. So overall, this was a good nostalgic experience that I think if you want to kill 2 hours and like you're playing your Switch or something, then you're doing something that, like, you know, it's not bad to just have on. And like, you're going to be captivated when you look up no matter what, because I mean, visually it's in its time and it looks like nothing that you see now.
Right.
There's no one-to-one, nothing, not even close. News broadcasts are too freaking slick to nowadays to even come close to whatever this is here. Like, you can tell they're still learning, you know? Like, everything's still, I don't know.
Well, like, I mean, this is a 26-year-old movie. Like, even just, like, seeing the difference between, you know, 1994 to 2021, mm-hmm. the difference in broadcast news is fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm. But there are also still some, like, some similarities, too, you know? There's some stuff that doesn't go away.
I mean, some things will always stay the same.
Yeah, the way they deal with the experts and, like, kind of just to the general, just, like, monotonous, just, like, we're presenting the news.
The scene where they put one of the science guys and one of the Pentagon guys, and they're just like, now fight!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that kind of shit, I'm just like, oh.
Oh, that's, like, that was, like, a small portion. Now, that's, like, 80% of broadcast.
Right. That was, like, a 30-second, like, and even, like, that's one of the most, like, tense moments in the movie for me, even as a kid, because I hated conflict. So mm-hmm. I was just like, why are they doing this? Why are they doing mm-hmm. this? And that's why I have such a hard time watching news now, because I'm just like, why are they just like pitting people who are never going to agree with each other, by the way? They're never going to come to like a reasonable conclusion. Watching it.
They could also pick people that do that to this day. And they won't. No. Because it's not fun to see people eventually be like, oh, I understand where you're coming from.
Why
not
people
fun.
Do that drives me nuts.
Because it's less news and more entertainment.
But yeah.
That's why the news is dying, Alex. It's dying right now.
Well, no, it is.
Two people who will never agree. Ever. And just say...
No, Anthony's right. It's become entertainment. I mean, and that's something I wanted to talk about on this, is that you have to realize that this was post the Gulf War, and CNN had completely changed how news was working. So this, the reason it's so, in my opinion, herky-jerky and not as smooth, because news itself was going to this transformative phase at that point. It was like, oh, we're going to have a 24-hour news cycle. And this was the beginning of that. I mean, not the beginning. CNN had been around, but CNN, with what it did during the Gulf War, had completely reframed how news was going to be mm-hmm. not only presented, but consumed. I think this is the way that they did this was kind of indicative of that transition.
Yeah, you could definitely see like a lot of broadcasts start to try to emulate aspects of that as time kind of went along. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, it's weird. I do distinctly remember the news kind of changed. Because even morning news. When I was younger, morning news was like news.
Right.
And when I was in high school, morning news was personalities. And like, hey, we're doing the fluffy thingy story over here. Wow, look at the bank sale. And like, everybody was like, they're making quips. And it was a whole different vibe versus I remember being a kid and being like, oh, this is boring. They're just talking about OJ and shit. You know? But like, you know, I think this was, what do you call it? Like, the anchors weren't necessarily like the personalities. They were still that kind of that like old school, uh-huh. like, we have like an air of legitimacy. That was chipped away for like, we got blondes. Like, that's what ended up happening as news went along.
Well, I think, Dad, you brought up a really good point. Like, this is kind of planting the seeds of the 24-hour news cycle, because we really wouldn't see that come to true fruition until, what, 7 years later after 9-11?
9-11.
Mm-hmm. Where, like, I mean,
speculating on us. Please tell us the answer.
I'm speculating here because, again, I'm, like, barely a person during this time frame, but like that's just my observation based off of really just the movies we've covered, where mm-hmm. I'm just like, this is what I feel like society
it did seem like after 9/11 things changed completely, like just in terms of entertainment.
I think they had perfected, this is going to sound horrible and I'm sure I'm going to get nasty direct messages on my Twitter,
that's
but I'm going to say it. I think that 9/11 was the perfect storm mm-hmm. for 24-hour news cycle.
Oh, and I don't think that's controversial.
I think what happened between the Gulf War. Well, no, I think the Gulf between the Gulf War and 9/11 was an 8-year progress of perfecting the 24-hour news cycle. So when it happened, it's like they were perfectly prepared. They were perfectly prepared for that. Almost like they were like preparing for something. Like, it's like, we are ready for this to happen. Yeah. It's like an inverse disaster prepare person.
I mean,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was, I mean, just, yeah, I think people gearing up for something to happen, and then I don't think they were, like, anticipating it in, like, a we want something horrible to happen, but more like, you know, like, an inadvertent, like, this is where we're heading. And it probably would have gotten there eventually. Mm-hmm. I think 9/11 definitely just sped the process along a little bit.
I mean, if you really think about it, like, this is not obviously limited to news either. Like, political parties, military industrial complex, everybody's prepared for a disaster and to take advantage of a disaster. Mm-hmm. Like, what was it? One of Obama's freaking guys, I forget who it was, is like, you don't waste a good crisis. Like, some shit like that.
He said that.
I forget who it was, but it was like, straight, you know, once a crisis happens, I feel like there are always those actors, those people that in charge that know, like, this is a possibility. Mm-hmm. So when it occurs, we strike.
Yeah.
Like, we strike. We make sure we establish, because if we don't do it, someone else is going to do it. That's essentially how it always ends up working with this kind of stuff.
A movie that Alex has spoken of, Deep Impact, I think if you look at that movie, you can see this, that behind the scenes of MSNBC, where it's like, having experts on call, having graphics already pre-made.
Yes.
I think that's what happened between 9/11 or between the Gulf War and 9/11. It's like, oh, we've learned our lesson. And going to what you said, never waste a crisis. They love crisis. I mean, because that's what they do. They report on crisis.
Yeah.
And I worked in a newspaper, and I mean, there was the joke, but it's true. If it bleeds, it leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Like people don't look at the front page of their paper and go, oh, look, like I said earlier, oh, look, it's a bake sale. And Johnny won the science fair. I was going to pick up that paper, but 17 people mangled in car wreck on I-5. Oh, I'm going to pick that paper.
Well, and that's another thing too, because I actually worked in the news when I was in college, and I specifically remember too how mundane day-to-day whatever stories, Mickey Mouse stuff that they were doing, it was kind of just like you could mess up and be like, oh, we'll fix it here, we'll do it there. But when a freaking wildfire happened, all hands on deck, we're looking at the numbers and we're seeing where everybody else's numbers are, and we're getting our best boys out there, and like if they want to turn around, I saw the behind the scenes. And these reporters trying to get closer and closer. And I was like, dude, you were in a dangerous situation. But it's like, it's for the crisis. It's for the feed. You know, it's really close to the hometown. You got to get those eyeballs. And you got to be the one with the eyeballs, not the other guys. Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
News terrifies me. Like, people who, like, it's just like people, I don't know.
Even in the, I did it for NBC up during college. And I remember specifically, like, the, just the mechanics of it. I was like, dude, they have feeds everywhere. This is the newsroom is insanity. Like it was something else. I'm just like, there's an apparatus to get this done. And that was a smaller station compared to like a CNN, which, you know, they got hundreds of staff.
Oh yeah. Work. They have like, you know, little like geeky interns who would just like do nothing.
That was me. That was me. I was the geeky intern.
Yeah. Do nothing but like scroll Twitter and be like, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was me. Mm-hmm.
You're the geeky intern, which we knew, but
yeah.
But going back to the movie, that's what I think was, that's why this was so fascinating from a news standpoint, was you got to see a little bit of that transition between what you said, Anthony, was like the news was the news.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a transition of, okay, we're going to talk about 74% think it's aliens, 24% think it's just an asteroid, and 6% is undivided. What do you think?
That's like, that's a good analogy. I like that.
Oh my gosh. No, because there's like a phone poll, by the way, and I was just like, oh, pre-internet. Like, it's just like, I find it so funny because you also see the evolution of like getting people's reactions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like on this, they're like, we took our cameras outside just moments ago and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, okay. First of all, no one's just walking around outside.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, maybe I'm just like conditioned during pandemic where I'm just like, no one's just walking around. But also like phone polls where people would just sit there and be like, oh, I mm-hmm. want the news to know my thoughts. So I'm going to call into this phone poll as opposed to be like, we asked Twitter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just a lot easier now.
But it's the evolution of the same thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you can see the steps for sure.
And it goes back to what I think, Anthony, I never even thought about it, but it's very astute that, like, in the 70s and early 80s, the news was the news. News didn't care about your opinion. They weren't giving you an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
X happened, Y happened, Z happened. Good night and God bless. And then you moved on to the next thing.
Okay. Walter Cronkite, there you go.
Didn't we talk mm-hmm. about this before? Okay. Well, there's like a split. Like there was a moment where it was like it was just the facts, and then eventually there was a moment where it turned into opinions.
I'm not sure if we talked about this in the podcast. We might have talked about it to link you or something. But I do specifically remember because I did a bunch of research on this when I was younger. What ended up happening? Because the news for a lot of corporations back in the day when it first started, when the news was the news,
mm-hmm.
news wasn't profitable. It was an aspect of their business. It mm-hmm. was something that like they did to have airtime
right.
and be on. Like it wasn't. You weren't making too much money off the news. Sometime around CNN and throughout the 80s and definitely in the 90s, they were making money. Like somehow,
mm-hmm.
Probably the crisis, probably the way they were able to get eyeballs on there, news became very, very, very profitable, and they streamlined ways to maximize that as time
yeah.
went forward.
Okay, I was thinking of the thing where initially, like before, in the before times, like if you dedicated a certain amount of time to one perspective.
Fairness doctrine.
Thank
fairness
you.
Doctrine.
The fairness
yeah.
doctrine. That's what I was thinking of. Where mm-hmm. it was, and like how that's kind of how that since that has kind of gone, been thrown to the wolves. Like that has changed how reporting and news has been shown, you know, since.
Yeah, well, I feel like back then there was a more agreed upon default of what was this and that, mm-hmm. and now everybody's default's very different, and we gotta, you know, people are just like...
It's a bit of a clusterfuck now.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. Wait, I would love to hear your thoughts on that one, actually.
Well, what I think happened was that basically it was the Reagan administration that took down the Fairness Doctrine, and it was about that same time that you had federal, and I think this is the what I would call opinion news. This is when opinion news birthed itself, because you had the Iran-Contra gate thing where we were selling weapons, and that was a big trial. Then you had Clarence Thomas being to the Supreme Court. Both of those were very controversial, and then you had people weighing in with opinions, not facts. Mm-hmm. And so that's 89-90. Then 91, you had the Gulf, which is, I think, that time where everything pivoted. And I think that's what the newscast in About Warning is kind of indicative of that pivot from we're going to give you facts, we're going to give you people's opinions about these facts, mm-hmm. to where maybe we are now, where it's we're just giving you opinions. We don't know what the facts are.
And that's how Oliver North got away. That's how he got away. That bastard.
They'd make a point in the movie to bring this up several times. They're like, okay, we're speculating a lot. Like, let's go back to the facts of what we know.
They went out of their way to do that. That's the insane part to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like all speculation.
Ugh. No, and just seeing that in a movie where I'm just like, that's fake. No one does that now, you know what I mean? Because they distinctly say, like, this is speculation. Here is the facts of what we know.
No, but they don't have Chris Christie in there and be like, this is speculation.
I do want to, when it comes to, like, my thoughts on the movie, like, clearly I love this movie. It's very sentimental to me. One of the things that you said that I thought actually rung very, very true to me that I said to my dad last night, it's nostalgic to you even though you've never seen it.
Yes.
For me, I very, very, like, emotionally, like, this movie felt like visiting an old friend.
I love that feeling. That's a great feeling, though, right?
Like, I have not seen this movie easily 10 years. Like, I have not seen this movie in a very long time. I think about it all the time, and I've talked about it many, many times, but I haven't watched it.
This is your Blade.
Could very well be. God damn it. But yeah, so revisiting it and, like, watching it as an adult was very, very cool. It was super fun. And yeah, I was, you know, kind of scrolling, like, working on stuff, like, while I was watching. But for the most part, it had my entire attention. But that's because, like, I was just like, oh, because I'm also still, as a child of the 90s, still very programmed to whenever, like, the news is on. Like, I kind of can't not pay attention.
Exactly. You're always filling out to see if there's, like, a story that captures you and you, like, can look up.
Right. And so this movie, and not only because I love this movie, but it just how they're talking on the news, like, it just kind of forces me to, like, be like, oh, shit, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, this movie's great. It's just fucking fun, dude. When it ended, and you see, like, all, like, the asteroids, and, like, they, like, kind of, you know, you see them entering the atmosphere. I shit you not. It was nighttime, and I had my light on, so you could see the reflection of the asteroids in my window. So it looked like there was one outside, and I freaked out.
I bet that happened to a lot of people in 1994. I bet.
Like, I was like... For a millisecond, I was just like, wait a second. That's a reflection.
I could see somebody in, like, Georgia just looking over to the right because the TV's, like, right next to the window and seeing that come down and be like, bam, we gotta go! Get the gun!
Shoot the asteroids.
I remember when I watched it on TV, and we lived in an apartment right next to a major thoroughfare, and about that time, this truck went down. That rumble, and I immediately just grabbed the couch. I was thinking, oh, you got me, reality. This isn't, but it's the same effect, that rumbling noise going. And the fact is that, you know, as it goes off the air, you're hearing all these different radio, TV broadcasts going, this is Anchorage, we've been hit. Then it goes off, type of thing. It's like, it's very unsettling, but very satisfying.
That's ominous shit right there.
And then you're just like, oh, I'm still standing. I'm okay.
Yeah.
It is okay. Oh, man. So good.
Dude, this is honestly, so that's, like, you guys generally have that experience with it. Again, this is brand new for me, but honestly, it holds up. I think it really does hold up as a mockumentary. Like, it really does the genre very well.
Yeah.
I mean, taking influence from War of the Worlds is it's a good basis to jump off of, I would say.
I think at this point, just because War of the Worlds is so, like, famous and so established, I think it's really hard to do, like, a live broadcast, like, type thing, whether it's radio, whether it's, you know, a newscast. It's hard to do without it being likened to War of the Worlds. Like, next to impossible, I'd say.
I would love to cover a radio broadcast of War of the Worlds one of these days.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. We got to do, like, a nostalgia month of, like, that, Night of the Living Dead, George Romero.
I'd love to do that, and there's another one called Dial M for Murder.
Oh, yeah!
And I've talked about that before. It's really cool.
Damn. What a time.
I know. And it's all done through phone calls.
That's insane. People got creative with their mockumentary stuff.
When it came to radio plays, people got very fucking creative. That's true. And unfortunately, a lot of it is kind of just lost.
Yeah.
Or at least not talked about. Not, I want to say lost, because it's out there, but it's just not, you know.
It's lost in the general discussion, for sure. Definitely. But then also some of it's lost because, I mean, they put this stuff on, the stuff that just deteriorates after a while and we don't get to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
So lots of ways it got lost, yeah.
Your thoughts on this movie, Dad?
Well, remember, I got to see it when it first came out, and then I had an 8-year break between the two. So with that said, the movie does a great job of ratcheting up suspense. It you know, the meteor's impact. Oh, what happened? Okay, it didn't hit any populated areas. Everything's fine. Okay, we're at the... Oh, wait, now there's these radio signals. Okay, it's not affecting anything. Oh, here comes this asteroid towards the North Pole. Okay, we took care of it. Okay, now there's asteroids coming towards the three major cities in the world. Okay, they've handled it. Oh my God, there's zillions of asteroids and we're all going to die. It just ratchets it up just a little bit.
Yeah, that is a great, like, 15-second synopsis of like the entire movie. Like, that's the movie for those.
Yes, speculation. Oh, another thing happened. Oh, shit. Okay, well, taken care of.
Is it aliens? Is it not aliens? Like, and they toe that line as long as they possibly can before you as a viewer, you're like, okay, either it's aliens or it's not. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know? And I think...
No, when they get to that one point where they decode the battling between the two people, because, again, going back up to the plot, the two people that survive the impacts that they find they're babbling, and they present what they're saying, but that doesn't make any sense. But at the very end, right before all the asteroids hit, they cut to a scientist that's able to patch their speech patterns together, and it's the message that's on the Voyager 2 probe.
Okay.
That's what their babbling is.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, because I, to this day, cannot, like, I know it's supposed to say, like, 100 and whatever Union States or whatever.
No, it's 163 member nations, I believe.
Thank you. Yeah. See, I'm trying to find the exact quote, so I'm not, like, totally talking out of my ass, but whatever. That quote, to this day, when they piece them together... First of all, it scares the shit out of me. It creeps me out like a motherfucker. Second of all, I still can't understand what they're saying.
No, I can't either. If it wasn't for Sandra Van Oak for repeating what they said, I would have never known, because edited together well. But that's what they said. Because
it's a pixelated Frenchman and a
little girl.
And a little girl. Like, of course, putting those voices together, I'm going to be like, what the fuck are they saying? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, that's funny.
Like, it you know.
But I think it's a good device, though.
It's great.
It's such a good plot device to run through the broadcast. Like, it really, actually, I like, again, the way this movie's structured, it has so many of those little things.
It's a good thread that goes through the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But it's actually the major thread, because it's what, at the very end, before the, you know, the apocalypse, if you will, it's like, this was definitely alien. I mean, it gives you a concrete answer.
And it gives you the caveat of being our doing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And invited these
folks. We invited them here, and we crapped on them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, I do want to get into this, and I don't know if this is a plot point, but aliens coming in on asteroids, I mean, yes, I know the movie itself says that this is the vehicle they chose to come in on, but... You know, if you're an advanced species, And you have the idea. I mean, and it's premised within the newscast. This is one of my major faults with it. So here we go. We're going to
Let's
give
do it.
you one of the thumbs down. 63 million years ago, 90% of life on the planet was taken out by an asteroid. So we're going to come visit you with one. That's like, you know.
That's a good
So
point.
that's like saying, hey, your house burnt down. I'm going to come visit you with a.
Maybe with a torch.
Yes.
So.
I mean, it's like you would think that's like, okay, well, maybe throwing giant rocks at them is, I mean, they're a little twitchy about that. Maybe we shouldn't do that as an advanced species. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, to respond to that, I'm going to quote, respond, I'm going to go back to one of the Letterboxd quotes. Very funny of the aliens to do that.
Indeed, very funny.
You almost think they didn't actually want to come in peace, but they're just like, hold on, let's see what they do. Let's see what they
Right,
do.
like
Let's see what they do.
I feel like how they treated it as like a fucked up science experiment. Like they were really just like sitting back and were just like, okay, if we do this, like let's see what they do. And at first they're like, okay, we're not gonna fucking kill anyone. We're just gonna like go a little chill on it. Like, see what happens. We're gonna go only on the 45th parallel, see if they put that together. It's like a puzzle box, you know what I mean? Like, let's see if they can put it together. And the one motherfucker apparently in the entire world, question mark, who can figure it out is on a plane when they decide to nuke the other one. So they're just like, eh. Which, by the way, that other asteroid that was like heading towards the North Pole, like I'm like, was that one going to break up and hit other unpopulated areas as well before they decided to nuke it? Like, what was the plan with that one?
I just think that they're kind of messing with us because they're just like, listen, these guys don't have interstellar travel. They're primitive as hell. We can have some fun with this. Like, they're not even there yet,
How
dude.
fucked up is that? They're just sitting there, just like basically like poking us with a stick, just like, do
They're
something,
like, they've been in
do
the habitable
something.
zone for how long? Like, oh yeah, no, they're not even close. Like, oh, what?
We're just a game of origin just
We
gone
are.
horribly
Yeah.
wrong.
They're playing Civ and they're just like, dumb.
Not to, again, to anger the audience, but I think this is very much of, you going in to prank someone and then they turn around and punch you in the face and they go, it was a prank, bro.
Yeah. They're like, well, they have
Except
nukes.
it's you're pranking someone with tactical nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
So, and then when you respond, it's like the person that you're pranking gets mad and just, well, oh yeah, and then it kills you.
Yeah, and it kills you.
Right? They're like, nah, dude, they still have their nukes on a missile. They haven't condensed these into a laser yet. Like, they're
We can just take them out real
Yeah,
quick, like just
yeah.
like a measly meteor shower.
You know what? Let's actually not give them the good weapons. Let's just add more asteroids. How about that? How about I really mess with them?
You saw these three asteroids. Now we're gonna give you hundreds.
All of them.
All the asteroids. Okay, so another question. Do you think something like this could be done in 2021?
No, we're too cynical. It'd be cool. It would look cool.
I mean,
It would look very cool.
well, at this point, next year will be 75 years from since Orson Welles' War of the Worlds.
Oh, then I want them to do something in 2021.
Well,
I
no,
want that
next year,
to
2022.
2022. I want to see that. But it's gonna
I
be
don't think they could sell it as
No.
it's actually
They
happening, but
can't.
I think that they could do it as a. I don't think there's any way you could broadcast this on any medium without it being spoiled to hell. Unless you get, unless you do what they did in Blair Witch, which is get a bunch of people never heard of and pull it off that way. But even then, I think science has gotten to the point where, I have a telescope that I could point out the window and see an asteroid coming. I'm sure there's scientists out there that would go, this isn't really happening. I'm looking at that section of space right now with my telescope and there's nothing there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think the closest we're gonna get, because like here's the thing, you're totally right, and like I feel like the era of something like this happening, like in any degree of authenticity, is gone.
Unless Q says it's real,
Okay.
then we're done.
Okay, but no, like, fuck
We found all the fake ballots. The aliens have it in Grover Mill, New Jersey.
I love that in Grover Mill, New
It
Jersey.
doesn't exist.
And people are looking at Oh, wow.
Thank you for picking that up, Alex. It doesn't exist. Grover Mill, New Jersey doesn't exist.
Oh fuck.
All
Oh
right.
my
But
God.
no, like, I think what was I gonna say? Like, I think the closest we'd get to it would be like some like an ARG, like something very, like maybe a video game, something like very immersive.
Honestly, to me, you got to, the only way you can realistically convince people is literally through discussion, through forums, through like, I'm sharing this video. Like it has to be like a viral thing.
Like a viral ARG, like something like, I don't know, like something akin to what happened with Slenderman.
Yes. No, that's a very good point. What happened, enough where people are captivated by it, but Slenderman is like the long con. Like, that took a while to get there.
And it ended with attempted murder.
Yes.
So
that's why you get Q to say, hey, October 31st, this is when the shit's happening. See?
No.
And people
will roll
the threads.
I'm going to roll it back. I think you could do something like this, but you'd have to, you guys changed my mind. You'd have to do it on YouTube, and you'd have to really, it wouldn't be a one day thing. It would be a release of a video, then a release of another video, then a release of another video. Kind of like what they did with AI and that. Media, I don't remember the term of it, but they have all these clues in the trailers. They did this one, or in Cloverfield, they did the same thing where this entire plot going on behind the scenes of the movie that if you others watch the movie, piece together what really happened. I think you could pull it off. Could do something. Just one YouTube video.
You're cutting out. I think I can.
Got it.
I think they can pull off as the last one.
I think they can pull off.
I think that they could pull this off on YouTube that way, where it's one, you have like, you own a several different type of accounts, and you have one person say, I posted this. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 3 days later, it's like, I was 4 miles away, and this is what I posted.
Didn't we talk about this?
When?
We talked about this in Cloverfield, where like,
I think so too.
Literally, like, it was like people were blowing up, like, scenes or like screenshots of like the Cloverfield trailer to like the pixel level.
Yeah,
like
trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And it, that was also an ARG, like those like alternate reality games where like people are like, it's that immersive.
You gotta be
and
able to feed obsession.
Very similar to what you were saying, Dad. Like that is like what Slenderman ultimately was, where it was like the lore was established, people took it and created these very creative, very immersive, very long YouTube channels where it was like. It was like, it felt like it was actually happening. And that's why it fucked me up so bad in high school, because I was young and impressionable and newly manic. And I was just like, ah, what's happening?
They knew their
audience. That and the YouTube videos don't have to put a disclaimer. This isn't.
Yes.
Matter of fact, it's to their benefit that they don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Yeah, they don't have to. They can monetize that shit and let it roll. Mm-hmm. And like, and I agree. I think if this were to happen in 2021 or any time in the future, it would have to be through something like YouTube, Reddit, like
dark
would,
web. Even get some shit on the dark web.
Yeah, right.
And people are just like, I looked in it. I used my Tor. Yeah, it's real. It's real.
Well, circling way back, I think that's how Herb Bell was so successful, is because it was not one coherent. It was like, we're going to talk about this, and then 3 weeks later, we'll talk about it again from someone else. And then 3 weeks later, we'll talk it about someone else. And then all of a sudden, it creates this narrative, and all of a sudden, the Chupacabra is real, or Area 51 is real. The Chupacabra at Area 51. It's just, it becomes this.
At Area 51.
It escalates.
Yeah. It just escalates because people feed into it. I think you said that, Anthony. It's like they just feed into it, and it becomes this self-organizing
thing.
If you sow enough doubt, someone's going to take it the next step. Mm-hmm. And then someone's going to try to co-opt it. So, you know, it'll become its own beast for sure. And you know, I think it goes with the times that the only way to do this kind of thing nowadays is with the methods we talked about and the leaders, the actual people that would convince a base that would actually fall for this. We're replacing Van Oker with fucking Alex Jones. Because those are
that's
the people
true.
Who buy it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it occurred to me that all you have to do is get someone who has some semblance of legitimacy, even if they in themselves are illegitimate, but you know, within a population, and then it will just go.
Well, and that's great because Alex Jones, like as like crazy as he is, like I don't think he actually believes any of the shit he says. Like if you paid him enough, he'd say whatever the fuck you wanted him
to
say.
That's a good point. That's a good point too.
So yeah. Alex Jones is a great person for this kind of thing.
Well, I mean, if you go also by his court case with his kids and stuff, he's starting to believe that. He's a mix. He's a mix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I always got the vibe that, like, he just kind of just, he kind of just, like, throws shit to the wall and sees what
he does. He does, but he's also crazier now.
Oh, good. So, love yeah. that.
I'm pretty sure he's buying a lot of his own
like,
bullshit.
The too. Last time I, like, paid attention to any, like, he was, like back when he was, like, oh, water is making frogs gay.
Look at his court stuff. I'm telling you. It's kind of, no, it's sad. It actually is very sad.
Yeah. Like, he's crazy?
Or... Yeah, his lawyers tried to paint him as an actor, and then he completely blew up what his lawyers were trying to present.
See? Papa knows.
Oh, wow. Yep. See?
I'm telling you.
I'm not following Alex Jones because I don't care enough.
But see, then he won't know about the aliens.
I know enough about the aliens. That's true. That's the good. Truth is
you
out there.
You have your sources. You have your sources.
Yeah, the I truth is out there. I get there.
You. Yeah.
yeah.
You won't know about the gay frogs. I That's love gay fine. Frogs.
That's fine.
If the frogs are happy, so be it. Let them go live their lives.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of frogs.
So
more
many.
Frogs will be made. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But some frogs have fun. Oh, how far are we? Where are we
We are at 97 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half. You want to rate and go? Or
yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I mean, unless you want to do the segment question.
Which segment? Which one?
You get asked to play a character in this movie. Who are you playing, and why?
Oh my god, let's do that one.
Okay. Before we wrap up, here's our fun segment for the episode. You get asked to play a character in this movie. Who are you playing, and why? Anthony Fuentes.
I am Jane Carsmack, whatever fucking name. I am the one that's like, it's asteroids. Or
it's asteroids.
I even when I know I'm wrong, I know I will still be like, but hold on a second. We can infer.
We can discuss.
Yeah, yeah. Based on like the actual like, it's, you know, the odds are stacked against us, but there's still the odds. It's still one in this.
Yeah.
And this, I'd be that guy. I'd totally be like that person. Just like
Dr. Carolyn Jeff.
Uh huh. Just like yeah. That was a fun interview. Anyways, reality time. Like that I'd be that.
She
yeah.
does that so many times in the movie. She's like, thank you for that. Anyway, talking about asteroids some more.
And now that the kids are done.
Kitty time's over, bitch.
That's me. Sorry, I'm totally that.
Dad?
Well, do I get to change what they do in the movie, or do I just have to do what they did in the movie?
No, you have to do what they did in the movie. You have to
great, then. Then I'm going to be fucking Norbert.
Why would you be Norbert?
Because I'm going to go ahead and concede. You're right. You know what? These are aliens. Let's not blow them up. Let's maybe see what they want.
I said you can't change.
Oh, I thought you said you can. No. Oh, then fuck Norbert. I don't want to be Norbert.
That's why I was just like, wow, fucking Norbert, really?
No, Norbert's an asshole.
Exactly.
I would be Matt Jensen. I'd want to be at Ground Zero. I want to see all the shit unfold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would be at NASA interviewing everybody. That's what I want to be.
Anthony,
and then I get to be married to Saffron in another suit. So you know what? It works out well for me every. Please continue.
Who doesn't want to be married to Christina Hendricks, really?
Yeah, true story. You're accurate.
Good point.
I would be, because Anthony took mine, Dr. Avril Mandel, the crazy city scientist.
There you go.
Who was right.
Scientist.
Who was not only right, but also, you know, like just aggressively finger wagging the entire time.
Because
He knew.
But also, like, as a kid, like, I was very into, like, space and, like, nerdy shit.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine where you got that from.
I couldn't tell you. But, yeah, if I was good at math, I probably would have ended up being, like, a NASA SETI, whatever. Oh, yeah. Like, like, a fucking, like, you know, nerd.
Oh, that's
but,
funny.
Yeah. That's who I would have been in the movie. And then by the end of it, I would have been like, I was right. Now we're all fucked.
See? Which is a different variation of the same attitude going into it.
I mean, that's why we get along so
that's
well,
true.
Really.
That's true. That's very true.
Okay. To wrap it up, rate this movie out of 5 very loosely made alien connections.
Ooh, okay. Papa Webster, what is it? What is it?
Oh, put me on the spot. Okay. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 loosely alien made. If it wasn't for the fact that they were throwing rocks at us as their way of communicating, I would have given it 5. But at some point, I had to go, really? You're going to hit us with an asteroid as a way of saying hello? That's what broke it for me. But if you'd asked 1994 Wayne Webster, I would have given it 5 out of connections. After it gave me it sitting, you know, having that moment of thinking about it going, huh. But at the moment, it had that visceral, that was amazing type of feeling.
Okay.
And remember, it's not nostalgic for me because I was there.
Fair enough.
There you go. See?
You?
I'm going 4. Same thing. I'd actually give it a 4. I think it's very well made. Clearly, there's some dated aspects to it, but I agree. Sometimes there's inconsistency in the performance and the motivations.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, fantastic watch. Especially with commercials. Commercials would actually might elevate it.
I'm but so like, glad you liked this but movie. Like, I was so worried.
I was digging it. Like, honestly.
I was so stressed. Yeah, I was I'm like, if Anthony hates this movie, I'm going to be legitimately upset.
I mean, the ominous nature of the ending, too. You know how I like fucked up endings. It's pretty fucked up. So, I'm digging it. Yeah.
I'm also giving it a 4.
All right.
Just from the nostalgia factor, just the fact that, like, I couldn't dislike this movie, I think, if I tried.
Mm-hmm.
It hits all the spots that, like, honestly, this movie shaped, I think, what I liked in movies for, mm-hmm. like, probably the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the mockumentary style, like, I mean, really showed what I like about found footage. Aliens, sci-fi, like, all that. Like, the suspense, the anxiety building. All aspects that I can see those threads
mm-hmm.
continue into the horror-loving geek you see before you.
There you go. So, foundational film right there.
It is. And mm-hmm. it's a very random movie to be a foundational film for me, mm-hmm. but it is. Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I think that will do it for this week. That was Without Warning from 1994. Thank mm-hmm. you so much, everyone, for joining us. Thanks, Dad, for joining
You're
us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Great time.
Thank you for inviting me. This was fun.
So fun. I'm loving it.
This was really fun. Next week, we're covering the Grand Mamma Jamma of sci-fi horror.
Oh, the bad Mamma Jamma.
The bad Mamma Jamma.
That's right. That's
not the regular Mamma Jamma, but the bad one.
This is a granddaddy of something. I'll tell you that right now.
It's
a big one.
It's a big one. It's a good one. I'm very excited to cover it. It's another one of these movies that mm-hmm. I talked about so much in college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of burnt out on it, but because I haven't been in college for 4 years at this point, I think I'm okay to revisit.
Okay, I want you to slap some disgusting questions in there, though. I want to see that educated Webster.
Oh, no.
I need those. Because, you know, I'm finding when I'm writing it.
My dad's the educated Webster.
No, there's two educated Websters.
No, that's not true. All my Websters are educated.
There you go. There's two immediately right now, though. there's so much to this movie that I literally was just like, I have to actually cut a lot and leave for discussion.
Yes.
Because of how foundational it is. So, big one next week.
Really, that should give you enough to mm-hmm. guess what we're covering. But in the meantime, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. If you like what you heard, please
I'm considering now.
Please consider giving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It means the world to us, and it does help, you know, keep us visible for other people to find us. So exactly. If you want more people to listen to us, please consider doing that.
Consider us, please.
Please consider us.
I'm going to go consider now.
And if you would like to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. If you would like to find Anthony, you mm-hmm. may find him on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop.
Where can we find Wayne Webster?
If he wants to be found.
If you want to find me, I'm on the Twitters. I'm on the Instagrams. I believe on the Instagram, I'm at Windjammer1969. I believe that's... And I am the... I think I'm the same at Twitter.
Very good, Dad.
So there you go.
Thanks. Look at me.
I think that's it. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Thank you again, Dad, for joining us. It's so cool.
Yes,
I'm so glad I finally got you on an episode.
Yay! I get to listen. I've been listening for so long because, again, I'm not big horror movie, but I love the psychology, and you guys do such a great job. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you. You've been one of our biggest supporters from day one, so it's so cool to finally have you on.
Appreciate it, really. Like, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are welcome. You do a great job. I'm glad to be a part of it, Summit.
All right. So until next week, don't watch the news, I guess, is the takeaway here.
Yeah. It was asteroids. See ya.
Bye.
It was asteroids. Bye.